Welcome to the Preserving Family Podcast. The purpose of this podcast is to equip you to gain insight, information, and inspiration to help you protect, teach, and guide your family during these turbulent times. Our goal is to provide tools and resources to help you strengthen and preserve your own marriages and families. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Mark and Janie Ogletree.
Welcome, everyone. We're so glad you're with us today, and thank you. This is going to be our continuation of our discussion that we had last week on agency. And this time, we're going to talk about what we would probably call practical uses of agency, or in other words, how agency could be taught in our homes. And so,
kind of from a parenting perspective, right?
Yeah. We're going to talk about that from a parenting perspective. Before we get rolling too far into this, though, we want to tell you that we're going to try our first promotion today.
First giveaway.
Our first giveaway. We've got a few extra copies of Beyond the Honeymoon sitting here on our desk. And the first three people who email us and say, hey, we'd love a copy of that book. This is 25 questions and answers about marital intimacy, designed for those who are recently married, but not really. It's for anyone. Anyone could enjoy this book, I think. But anyway, the first three who email us at preservingfamiliespodcast@gmail.com will send you a free copy. So there's our promotion for the day.
Awesome.
All right, so we're going to focus a little bit, like I just said a minute ago, on this idea of how we teach agency in our homes. And I think the very first distinction to make, and I'll call this principle number one, or point number one, is that agency isn't freedom. And I think a lot of parents confuse that. You know, in their minds, they're just thinking, okay, agency is our kids just kind of do whatever they want.
Yeah. Right? Well, they have their agency. Let them do whatever they want.
Yeah. Where in reality, if you really want to talk about agency, then that implies that there are choices for sure, but there are consequences for those choices. And once again, those consequences can be positive too. It's not just negative. I mean, there are positive consequences for making right choices, right? We're trying to make this distinction that agency is not just freedom. It's just not letting your kids do whatever the heck they want.
Or permissive parenting. That's the opposite.
Right. That there are actually, you know, that once again, there are choices. Or sorry, there are consequences.
To our choices.
For our choices.
Well, yeah. And that reminds us of, you know, what Elder Bruce R. McConkie used to teach, that there's four conditions that agency requires. So freedom is just letting your kids run wild, you know, just do whatever they want.
Free range.
Free, just whatever they feel in the moment. But agency, the first one he said is laws ordained by an omnipotent power must exist. Laws we can either choose to obey or disobey. So people have to know that there are laws and what the consequences are.
Right.
Number two.
And by the way, those laws can just be the rules of the home.
The rules of the home, the rules of society. Right. You know, you don't run stop signs. We don't kill people. We don't steal.
Club our sister over the head with a frying pan. Right.
Then number two, there have to be opposites. Good and evil, right and wrong. Number three, that kind of goes along with that, is we must have a knowledge of good and evil. We must know the difference between the opposites. So when our children are tiny and toddlers, they don't understand that putting your hand on a burner is bad, you know, or running in the street is bad. But as they get older, we teach them. And again, that's our responsibility and opportunity as parents to teach our children good from evil, wrong from right, bad from good. And so as they get older, then that's how we teach agency, you know, is that if you choose good, then this happens. If you choose wrong, then this happens.
Right. So you're teaching and you're laying out those consequences.
Right. But again, I like how Elder McConkie says that we all must have a knowledge of that, right? And our mm-hmm. children, especially, in order to practice their agency and to fully know and choose wisely, they have to know good from bad.
So maybe an example is a 3-year-old probably couldn't make the decision on if they should attend church or not and be a lifelong member at age 3 because they just aren't capable of
right.
really
understanding. Right, they don't understand fully the consequences.
But there are some parents that would let their 3-year-old make that decision, I think, right?
Right, and in this crazy world, parents are letting their children make all kinds of decisions at those kinds of ages that they shouldn't be letting them because they don't understand. Yeah. That's not agency. That's just freedom and permissiveness because they don't have the full knowledge.
Sure.
And then number four, Elder McConkie said, we must possess an unfettered power of choice, which means unrestrained. Like, we have to be able to choose.
The choices have to be there. Right?
Yeah, that we have, and then nobody can control us. So that our children, ultimately, they can make their decisions, right? An example of that is, has anybody tried to ever get a 2 or 3 year old to eat their dinner when they don't want to eat it?
Their Brussels sprouts?
I mean, we can bribe, mm-hmm. we can force, we can
shove it down their mouth.
Try, yeah, but if they don't want to eat their Brussels sprouts, that's not happening.
Right.
And again, that is one of the greatest gifts of our Heavenly Father, that we came to earth to exercise our agency. We fought the war in heaven over it. Like, Heavenly Father mm-hmm. will do anything to bless and help us, but he will not take away our agency because he respects that so much. And so
so much so that, you know, we have all these people in the world saying, why doesn't God intervene? If there's really a God, why isn't he stopping these people from doing these horrible things? But that's how much he's willing to honor agency.
Right. Yeah, he totally respects that. And so as parents, that we have to respect that in our children also, but we also have to, with the other parameters in place, that they know, have a knowledge of good and evil, that they've been taught, that they've been warned, that we fully teach them so that they can make correct decisions with their agency.
Right. And as parents, the part, you know, where we come in is there has to be this consistency on helping dole out those consequences, right? You know, we found a great article called The Fullness of the Gospel, and the topic is agency. It's in the March 2006 Ensign. And one of the sections on that, it says Satan's attack on agency. And it says this, that in the premortal existence, the Lord says that Satan rebelled against me and sought to destroy the agency of man. And for his rebellion, Lucifer was cast out of heaven. But here on earth, he continues to undermine our agency. And it says he does this in many ways, but there are two keys. And the first one is disobedience. And in the authors of this article, there's, by the way, they remain unnamed, but they say that disobedience damages our agency in two ways. First, when we lose light and truth, we become blind to many opportunities to do good. And second, some forms of disobedience are addictive. Or in other words, we can become entrapped in behaviors that are extremely difficult to forsake. We may even hurt others and damage their agency.
Satan also whispers in our ears, telling us, eat, drink, and be merry. Nevertheless, fear God. He will justify us in committing a little sin. And if it be so that we are guilty, God will beat us with a few stripes. And at last, we will be saved in the kingdom of God. We all just read that in Come Follow Me this week, right?
Yeah.
Some mistakenly believe that once we've confessed Christ and have been saved by grace, it doesn't matter what we do. We are saved. This doctrine is a subtle manifestation of Satan's ongoing deception, that we are not accountable for our sins and that there are no consequences for them. And
so that's number two, right? Number two is this idea of no accountability, right?
Yeah, and these are the little lies that you see everywhere in our society and religion and everywhere, where Satan just gets his little stronghold that, yeah, it's all good. You know, Jesus loves us no matter what we do, you know, where we are. Which is true. Jesus does love us where we are, but he doesn't want to keep us that way. But that's the lie that Satan spends, that no, it doesn't matter what you do. It's all going to be good. No worries.
But I think that really spills into how so many parents are really kind of teaching this principle of agency. Is it's kind of a false way to do it, because often there's no accountability. So it's freedom without any accountability. And once again, that's not agency.
So number two, that parents, as we are teaching our children about agency and instilling in them what agency looks like, there's also positive and negative consequences to agency. And I think,
or in other words, not just negative.
Right. But I think sometimes we as parents get hung up on the negative consequences. Mm. But how many times when do we forget to mention, oh, thank you, honey, for doing those dishes. Thank you for cleaning up your room today. It looks lovely. Or, oh, you were so kind to your brother. That's so kind. You know, I think as we as parents just focus on the negative. Oh, that kid, he didn't do this. They did, you know, they did this.
We love how you stand for the right. You know, we love how you lead in our family. Yeah, they need to hear that.
And it reminds me of a story you told a couple podcasts ago about the young man who wanted to go to a concert or something. I can't remember what the event was, with his friends, you know, way beyond curfew. And his dad said, you know, yeah, you've been a great kid. You're
an Eagle Scout. You go to seminary.
You get up early every morning. You're on time. Your grades are good. Sure, I trust you to go do that.
Yeah.
And I think that we need to teach our children that. And we used to always tell our kids that too, is yeah, if you want more freedom, if you want more agency, you know, that you have to, you know, if you're living the laws and you're obeying, then we let the rope out.
Yeah.
But the more, if you're disobeying and we can't trust you and, you know, you're sneaking around, then the rope gets pulled in a lot.
The rope gets really short.
Yeah. Until we can kind of rebuild that trust with you. But that was a big thing in our house.
Yeah.
But I think as we use our agency to choose righteousness, and again, this is a great thing that we need to teach our children, that we as parents, not only, like we just said, you know, give them more rope, but God also blesses us. He uses our agency to bless us and be able to trust us. And so when Heavenly Father sees that, he can trust us to make correct decisions, that he gives us, you know, more blessings, more responsibility, more opportunities.
Yeah.
Just like a loving parent would do.
Right. The third principle that we want to share when it comes to how agency can be taught in the home is when it does come down to, you know, when it's time to enforce a consequence, parents, we have to stick with it, right? If there's a consequence that we've mentioned, then we have to enforce it. We just can't continue to make threats that we just can't enforce, right? Like maybe examples we've used before, if you hit your sister one more time, then you're not having Christmas this year, or you're not eating anything for the rest of the week, or these crazy threats.
You're never having dessert ever again, you know, right, if you don't eat your dinner.
And this is why consistency becomes one of the great parenting virtues, right? When your children know that you're going to lower the boom, so to speak, if there's any kind of misbehavior, I mean, that's going to help them know how to walk on the right path. I was just talking to a member of our stake just a week or two ago, and he said, one of the things I love about my parents, but I didn't like it so much when I was a teenager, but he said, if they said, this is what's going to happen if you do that, it happened every time. There was no getting out of it. There was no sweet talk. If they said it, it was going to happen.
And I think that's a big mistake that parents make, is they make liar, you know, we make liars of ourselves, right, because we throw out threats like that, like, oh, well, you're never going to watch TV ever again because you hit your sister, or things like that. No, the kids soon realize that that's a joke. Yeah. You know, that of course they're going to have dessert. Of course Santa Claus is going to come. Of course, whatever we've talked about. But I think with teenagers too, that if we say, like, we have to be really careful as parents as what is the consequences we throw down, because we have to enforce it, like you said, or we become liars.
Right.
And the kids don't trust us.
And we've even had to say that to our kids before. I remember that when they were teenagers, saying, do you realize that if you, as they're kind of working us over, right, that if I let you do that, I would be the biggest liar, because I told you you're not doing that. And you really, do you want me to be?
Yeah, do you want me to lie? But so if you say, okay, you're grounded for the next 3 weekends, we have to be, as parents, willing to have a backbone and enforce that. And not give in by week 3 when they're like, but dad, it's prom. Like, I can't. Like, please, it's my best friend's birthday. You know, believe me, we've been through all of this. But you have to be willing. You have to be strong enough as a parent to say, sorry, honey, that was the consequence of your choice that you made, you know, whatever they did. And here's the punishment.
And we got to really do a good job, I think, is helping them see that really clearly, that your choice.
That was your choice.
Yeah, you made that choice. And so, because of the choice you made,
now I have a choice as a parent to make my choice. We're going to talk about that more in a minute.
Yeah.
But I think we as parents just can't throw down random, like, oh,
idle threats,
because it does make us liars. It makes our kids disrespect us and not listen to us.
Yeah.
But like you said in that example of your friend who knew that his parents were going to be consistent and hold the line, I think that helps with our kids too, because if they know that, oh, my parents will give in, you know, they'll do whatever they want. You know, then you got the monkeys running the zoo. But if they know, oh, no, I'm not doing that because my parents, it means I'll be busted for the next 4 weeks or whatever. Then I think they stop and think before they act. And I really do think it's a good deterrent. if we hold the line and are strong parents.
And there's research that shows that, right? That shows that parents who regulate their children, that those children grow up with stability, with predictability. In other words, that's showing them, okay, so this is how the world works. If I go 90 miles an hour,
I'm going to get a ticket.
I'm going to get a ticket. It's just going to happen every time, you know.
If I'm late for curfew, oh, you know, my parents don't mess around, so I better be home. Or whatever the rules are.
And then you learn to regulate yourself. You know, that's kind of the idea, is that self-regulation kicks in. For example, I still remember the day of getting that first speeding ticket, you know, as a college student. No, I think I ran a red light or whatever. But I remember I had to, it's actually a funny story. I was trying to get to state conference on time and ran this red light trying to get to a church meeting. But I remember how much money I had to pay out of my pocket. And I promise I didn't run any more red lights, right? And that's what parents are trying to create, is that type of, you know, culture in their home where children know that, oh, wow, if you step right here, then there's going to be some consequences. But if you step over here, there are some great benefits and blessings that will come our direction.
And then number five, which we think is one of the most important parenting tools that I think most parents don't even realize that they have in their pocket.
Yeah.
they don't really think they have that in their toolbox. But it is that parents forget that when it comes to parenting, that we have agency too, that we also have choice.
Right. And like you said, Janie, it's amazing how many parents forget that, you know, that, guys, you have a choice too. I mean, you get to have, if your kids get to have agency, of course you do too. And that's where I say this is now where it becomes kind of empowering and also kind of fun, right? It can be kind of fun as you consider how you're going to respond to the choices that they make, right? And so I remember that we had a child in our family for a while that it just felt like they did everything halfway. Everything. Taking the garbage out, there's pieces of litter all the way out to the outdoor garbage can, or their room just didn't look right. It was just, everything was about halfway done. And so I decided that with this child, I was just going to do everything halfway with them. And so when they needed a ride to school, or when they needed allowance, or they, whatever the thing that they needed, we're going to go about halfway. And that lesson was caught really quickly, you know.
We had another child that for a while wasn't making very good decisions. And so she got to spend lots of time, lots of Friday nights on date night with mom and dad instead of hanging out with her friends and things like that.
That was how we used our agency.
That's how we, yeah, I'm trying to teach her that if you choose wisely, then you have more rope and freedom and agency. And if you don't,
you get to hang out with us.
You get to kind of be imprisoned with mom and dad for a while. But the kids really learn quickly. I mean, they realize, you know, as we discuss these things, it's not just like a punishment. We just talk about how, as you choose wisely, and if you don't choose wisely. But I think there's so many parents today that are afraid to take a stand with their kids. They're afraid to set those boundaries, to make those rules and then enforce them. They're afraid there's not much teaching going on. They're afraid to take their child's cell phone away if they're not living up to the agreements that they've made. They're afraid to ground their children and keep them away from parties. They're afraid. And that makes me sad that for parents that live in that fear of their children.
I remember one parent, when someone told them, you know what your kid needs? They need some serious discipline. They need to be restricted. And that parent said, oh, no, we could never do that. That would just make them mad. And I'm like, okay, well, that explains why you're in this horrible situation right now with a child that just laughs hysterically every time you ask something of them, right? They know that their parents have become wet noodles. Let me share this, Janie, regarding what you're just talking about in terms of consistency. And this is right from the scriptures. This is right from the book of Genesis. Some of you may remember this well, that when Adam and Eve were commanded that of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. This is Genesis 2, verse 17. So what happened? We know that Adam and Eve violated that commandment. They did partake of the fruit. So what were the consequences? Well, it was pretty big. It was physical and spiritual death. But here's the point. Heavenly Father did exactly what he said he was going to do. He told them that if they broke that commandment, if they ate that fruit, there would be a consequence. And there was. So could you imagine, you know, Adam and Eve partaking of the fruit and Heavenly Father coming back to them and saying, okay, I don't think you guys listen. Let's try this again. Let's do this one more time. Now, this time we really mean it, okay? And we go through this exercise 5 or 6 times. Don't do it again or you're really going to get it next time. No, it didn't happen that way. Heavenly Father is the perfect parent. And when he says that he's going to do something, he just does it.
Right, because Heavenly Father is not a liar. What he says always happens 100% of the time, and we can always trust that. And our children should be able to trust us, too, that what we say is going to happen.
It's going to happen. There's that consistency. So just like any good parent, you know, and I love in Heavenly Father's case in the book of Genesis, good parents explain the rules and the consequences, and then they give their children the freedom to make those choices. But they also are going to allow them to suffer the consequences of the choices they make.
So an example of that is, say our child decides that they are just going to screw around and not do their homework, not turn anything in that semester and fail their class. Well, they might have to go to summer school, right? And miss out on all their time with their friends or things like that.
Or in my case, when I completely goofed off in high school and didn't take academics serious, you know, I had to go to a school that I didn't really want to go to for my freshman year. You know, that was just the natural choice, you know, is, okay, I didn't really want to go here, but this is the one place that would take me. Dang it.
Yeah. Or like you said earlier, the time when you ran a stop sign or got a speeding ticket, and that hurts when you have to pay that out of your own pocket.
Right.
Because we as parents wouldn't pay that. Are you kidding? So that's the natural consequence of a child. And there doesn't need to be a big lecture. It's just, well, have fun mowing lawns to earn that money.
We literally had a daughter just recently that ran a, you know, through a, I don't know, what did she do? She pulled it out in the intersection in front of someone and there was a little fender bender there. But luckily, she, you know, she's in college and she didn't even ask for help. She just knew. She just knew that, you know, when she told us, oh my gosh,
pay the deductible.
I can't believe this just happened. We're like, I know, shoot. Well, the deductible's this much, so good luck with that, right? And
but those are called natural consequences. And we tried really not to beat them over the head with things when things happen like that, or they forgot their bag of equipment for their sports team or whatever. We'd say, oh, sorry. But the next time they never forgot. And
that's an eloquent sermon. You know, one of the things, Janie, people ask a lot about is they'll say, well, what if your kid's 16 years old and doesn't want to go to church, you know, and we want to be super careful with this one because this is going to be so personal for every family. And really, we couldn't tell you, we couldn't give counsel to say, here's what you should do. I think we could tell you what we would do, and then you would have to figure out how that would work in your own home. But our children knew growing up that we followed the admonition of Joshua in the Old Testament that choose ye this day whom ye will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Our children knew that we were God-fearing, church-attending parents, and that was part of our family culture and belief. And so the idea of just saying, I'm not going to go to church anymore, or I'm not going today, if that would have ever happened, there would have been some kind of consequence. Or in other words, it wouldn't have been just pure freedom. You know, that there would have been some type of consequence. And once again, to tell you what that would have been or how we would have handled that exactly, I think we'll just keep that personal and let you figure out what would that be for you, you know? But I think our children, like you said, Janie, earlier in a discussion we were having, that children probably need to be taught these things early on, right? That if they know from day one that this is kind of how we roll and this is what we do and this is part of our culture, then hopefully when they're 16 or 17,
it's just not a surprise when we say, no, you are going to go to church.
or that, yeah, we're going to church today.
Well, you live in my home. These are the rules of our home, and this is what we do.
Yeah.
But I remember having, you know, little kids, I don't want to go to church. Church is boring. And, you know, and that's when the teaching begins. It's like, well, sorry, honey, but that's what Heavenly Father wants us to do every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do. And so then by the time that they're teenagers, hopefully they aren't questioning that. That's...
yeah.
Just ingrained in them.
And for our children, because we've heard this before, oh, I have to, this is a long time ago, obviously, if we use an Eagle Scout example, right? But if, oh, so I can't drive, I can't get my license before I get my Eagle, that's not cool, right? I don't like that. Or you're forcing me. No, you have a choice. I mean, you have a choice. You don't have to get that or whatever. I love what Randall Wright said. He explained this really well. He said, imagine that a train travels on its tracks. Some would argue that the tracks take away the train's agency. He said, although the tracks are straight and narrow and restrictive, they actually give the train the freedom to reach its destination safely. And so with the support, guidance, and direction, the train gets where it needs to go with those tracks. And then without the tracks, the train's going to fail miserably. And I think family rules, God's commandments, standards, all works the same way. Those commandments, those rules actually free us from sin and in many cases, horrific consequences if we'll just kind of stay on the track, right?
Yeah. As you were telling the example of the train tracks, it just reminded me of the story of Joe J. Christensen and the story he shared. It said, one son said, I always knew that to my parents, the family and the church were the most important thing. I grew up feeling the same way. On Sundays, there was never any doubt in my mind that they and we would be attending church. That decision had been made long before, and it was a standard expectation in our family. Mm. It reminds me of the story I heard from a friend in another family where one of the children was balking at going to church. And she said, Dad, don't we have our free agency? The father replied, yes, you have your agency. Now hurry up and get dressed for church. She did, and they all went, you know, with regular family expectation reaffirmed. But again, I think that starts when they're really young. But then, you know, and if that hasn't been the pattern, if that hasn't been taught, you know, and you have maybe a teenager who doesn't, I think, again, we sit down, we try to teach, we try to understand, we try to do what we can, but there are consequences, again, to their choices if they choose not to attend church. But we also have choices and agency with consequences and things like that. So
yeah, and I think another example,
as long as they live in our home.
Yeah. Another example would be Stephen R. Covey. And I think this story was in his book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective Families. But he told the story in their home where one of their children didn't want to go to church at one time. And Brother Covey ends up taking another approach. Instead of going to church to teach his lesson or whatever his priesthood duties were, he just went home with that kid. And they spent the next couple hours together just talking and him listening as a great parent and trying to understand why and what's going on and what makes you feel that way and what can I do to help. And maybe a nurturing approach there. But once again, in other words, we don't want to discount that either. We're not trying to come across today as hardcore drill sergeants. Certainly, if this was in our family, we would want to talk to our child and try to resolve whatever the concern was as well. I mean, it wouldn't be just, hey, go or not go. It's like, well, let's find out why. Let's talk about it. And let's see if we can solve this problem. So, of course, what we want to do is we want to create a home where our children feel safe, where they feel nurtured. And once again, we want to make sure that we're not coming across today like drill sergeants. All we're saying is we want to have consequences for the choices that are made, but also a reminder that there's a lot of positive consequences that can be doled out every day. We want our children to feel praised and nurtured and loved. But also we want to build this culture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we want to surround our children with love and with faith. And I think, Janie, this is where this great story that Elder L. Tom Perry told in conference a few years ago that was so good.
He said, I was reared in a home in which parents loved and appreciated the gospel of Jesus Christ. They understood the admonition of Paul to the Ephesian saints when he wrote, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We were dressed in our home each morning, not only with hats and raincoats and boots to protect us from physical storm, but even more carefully in the armor of God. As we would kneel in family prayer and listen to our father, a bearer of the priesthood, pour out his soul to the Lord for the protection of his family against the fiery darts of the wicked, one more layer was added to our shield of faith. While our shield was being made strong, theirs was always available, for they were available, and we knew it. What a protection it is to travel through the journey of life knowing that a shield of faith is being carefully constructed for us by loving parents from our first moments on earth. Let me just give you a small example of how that shield would work. One day, I was made an attractive offer by a group of Marines, buddies of mine, as we were about to go on liberty. It wasn't until after we were on our way that I discovered this was not the best company to be in. It was then that I found out the reason they had invited me. It was because they knew of my standards. They knew that I would be sober when it was time to return to the base and I could guide them back. We found ourselves in Los Angeles on a streetcar headed towards a dance hall. They had already started to drink a little and I was ready to part company with them. Then that protective shield took over and I knew of the prayers of my parents for my welfare. The streetcar stopped and allowed new passengers to come aboard. The new passengers separated me from my buddies and pushed me back into the car. Into the back of the car, there I discovered a nice group of young people standing and seated. Immediately upon finding me in their company, one spoke up and said, "Hi, Marine, we're Mormons. What do you know about our church?" I answered, "Plenty."
Yes.
And got off the streetcar with them and went to a ward social. The shield of faith was there. It was protecting me from the fiery darts of the wicked, in order that in a proper time of my life, I would be worthy to take an angel into the temple of the Lord, and there at its altar, we would be sealed together for time and all eternity. I know by personal experience the value of having noble parents to build around their children a protective shield of faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I give you my witness that it works. May every child of God be given that opportunity in their lives to start each day having their fathers blessing their home and giving that protective shield of faith as they depart from the home to go about their every activity.
And when I think of that story, Janie, I just think of these parents, the Perrys, who taught their children what was right. And they taught them what happens when choices are made. I'm sure there were consequences for the good and bad choices, right? And now here's Elder Perry off on his own, put in a really kind of compromising situation, and he makes the right choice. And it ends up being the kind of choice that directed and shaped the rest of his life, you know? So here's Joseph F. Smith. He said, "The more righteous and upright, pure and undefiled the Latter-day Saints become, the less power Satan will have over them, for in proportion to your unity and uprightness, honesty and fidelity to the cause in which you are engaged, in such proportion will the power of the adversary be weakened. And those who are seeking to entice your sons and daughters into haunts of shame and dens of wickedness, that they might be defiled, corrupted, and wicked, like the rest of them, will have less power over you if you will watch your children better and live better lives yourselves." It's an old statement from General Conference in 1911, but the idea is that the more righteously we live, as we fortify our children and help them build this protective shield, the less power Satan's going to have over them and the more that they'll be directed and guided by the Spirit. I totally believe that. So parents, build that shield of faith, whatever that looks like in your home and in your life. And let's teach our children what's right. Let's teach them values. Let's teach them consequences.
Let's teach them the difference and the opposite of good and evil.
Right and wrong.
Things. Good and bad. Light and darkness. So that they too can see for themselves.
Because they're not going to get that in this world. They're not going to learn that at school in most cases. They're not going to learn it from their peers or on social media. So we have to be vigilant in teaching those principles.
So LDS, let's do something. Our invitation this week is to all parents. Let's take a minute and really think about how agency, consequences, all those are being taught and managed in our home. Because maybe there's a way that we can improve. Maybe there's a way we can teach better. Maybe there's a way we can implement agency, consequences better.
And for our children who are older, why don't we have them teach that, right? I mean, this is a great time for them to start being able to articulate and express those principles.
Absolutely. I think agency is a huge, I mean, we literally, you know, fought a war in heaven over agency. And I think that's just a really important principle that we all need to know and understand really carefully because Satan uses and twisted it to deceive us. So
totally. Well, everyone, we hope you have a wonderful week. Thank you so much for being with us today. We look forward to being with you next time. And we wish you the very best in your families on this